Hey, I'm just letting you know that in February 2023, I am speaking at my friend Andy Storch's event in Sonoma, California. It's called the Talent Development Think Tank. I'll be running a session on marketing your workshops. And on day three, I'll be hosting the 2-hour workshop blueprint session. I'd love to see you there. Head on over to leannehughes.com/think tank. Enjoy the episode.
Life's too short, so you're here to work and live large. Here's your host with nothing to lose, Leanne Hughes.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes, and I'm here to help you imagine what's possible is possible for you. Hey, it's actually a little bit rare when I have a rant, a public rant especially, and I did one on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago, and it was actually amazing, like the response that came through. So in a moment, I'll share what that post was, because I wrote a quick article just to add some solutions, right? So it's nice to go on a rant, but then what can you do about it? So I share the problem with employee engagement surveys. I still see so many businesses and some of the clients that I work with rolling these out, but the attention seems to be on actually getting the feedback and not delivering a result or changing thing in response. So I just wanted to share a bit about that, but also jumping on the microphone to let you know that with the format of this podcast, you'll see different episodes from time to time. Something I'm really wanting to work on in the second half of this year, and I think it's going to be a continuous journey, is my ability to write articles and articulate my thoughts. It's not easy. I find it much easier just to have a list of bullet points and to speak on this podcast. But in terms of structure and outlining and actually consolidating what I think, I definitely find article writing as a challenge. So what I'm doing is every week I am writing an article, I am publishing it on LinkedIn. And if it doesn't happen every week, definitely every other week. I want to create some consistency. And the advice that I got from Sean D'Souza, because he's been helping out a bit, I've been doing his article writing course, and I sent him a few articles, and he says, you just need to write more so that you can make your mistakes faster so that you can improve. And I really like that. I've also been getting feedback from my growth cycle community. They've been extremely helpful. And Alan Weiss as well, who's like the last line of defense. And then he often catches things that I didn't even consider. So by the time they're published, it's version 3, and version 1 is actually really poor. And the goal really is so that in about a year from now, I can look back at these articles and just think, what was I doing back then? The only way to get to that stage is to go through and click publish and to have the confidence to put it out for feedback. So first of all, with today's episode, I'll read the mini rant to you and then the article in response to it. Here's what I posted on LinkedIn. There is so much information on LinkedIn about creating psychologically safe workplaces, but all the solutions revolve around the line leader's ability to create that. And line leaders ask questions, hear from all voices, listen, all the tips are really aimed at that leader. However, I think it doesn't matter how good you are at creating psychological safety if you work in an environment and a system that is against you. If you want your people to speak up, creating psychological safety can help. However, it cannot dismantle a system that discourages people to raise their hand and to speak up. Here are two examples I've heard from clients in recent weeks. One, an employee working on site tested positive for COVID at work. Their company told this person to isolate at camp for 7 days with no plan or support to get them back home. Now, this employee knew colleagues who also were COVID positive, and they called in sick, but they didn't say they had COVID because they were scared they would be told to isolate as well and unable to get home. So if you think about that, like the danger in people that have COVID in your business that they don't feel safe enough to report it, what that can do in terms of spreading the virus on and things like that. Secondly, a crew member who noticed a hazard at their workshop, they reported it to management. Their reward for reporting the hazard was getting thrown the responsibility to find, quotes, auto replacement tooling and supplies and then install it on top of an already insane schedule. So this was not a task related to their job or KPIs. So you think if their reward for reporting a hazard is to be thrown more work, what does that tell everyone else and tell the crew? Is there an incentive to report hazards? And I'll throw one more in for good measure. And this is what I'm focusing on today. Senior management asking for feedback, completing an employee engagement survey, and seeing zero improvements in relation to feedback provided year on year. I had quite a few responses come through very publicly, but also people messaged me on LinkedIn, really must have hit a spot. I'll share some of these responses quickly because they relate to the content. Jack Wilkinson shared, these employee engagement surveys always seem such tick box exercises. It's hard to get passionate about them. I also dislike the fact that they have to be anonymous. They should offer anonymity as an option, but sometimes it's also nice to receive direct feedback based on my responses, both positive and constructive, and definitely to see actions based on my responses. What's the point in me making honest comments otherwise. Thank you, Jack. Derek Von Tonder says, the feedback survey one is particularly galling and falls under, we should do these things to try and keep the staff happy, but we can't change anything. Maybe we should have a pizza party. That makes staff happy, right? I think you can detect the what he's like through his words, the sarcasm there. I love it. There are inverted commas that were used in his statement. And Mike Oskem says that he has seen it all. So I've been thinking about this and I did a survey. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do a survey. I wrote an article about what I've been thinking on this. And the article is called Your Employee Engagement Surveys Are Leading to Divorce. Here's What to Do Instead. That's pretty harsh, right? But I like the play on engagement and divorce. All right, let's start. We have a rule at our place. Whoever is driving the car gets to pick the playlist. However, when I'm in the driver's seat, we listen to Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History. However, when Chris, my husband, is driving, he insists that we listen to country music. I used to hate country music, but now I associate country music with some of the best road trips that we took around Australia. Surprisingly, these days, I enjoy listening to Luke Combs and Kenny Chesney. I did a complete backflip. And I'm here to share another backflip. In my internal OD consulting days, I'd recommend employee engagement surveys as a way to build awareness of what was happening in a business. Since then, I've realized that these surveys, in some instances, can lead to divorce because your employees feel so disillusioned, they break up with your business. I share what's fueled my backflip and what I suggest you can do instead. So we've got issues, and I think one of them is that more time is spent on gathering the data than actually following through. When I played netball, I was a netball goal attack, goal shooter, and I wondered why I'd miss some shots when I had perfect form. My knees were bent at the right angle, my elbows were close to my shoulder, and I realized it was because I forgot that crucial final step, which was flicking my fingers towards the hoop. I failed to follow through. The same thing goes for your engagement surveys. In one company, a survey required an hour to complete. Think about that. 1 hour, over 10,000 employees, looking at a $500,000 investment right there. Despite this earnest investment of effort, staff heard nothing but radio silence afterwards. Some questioned whether their responses were even reviewed at all. Even if you take the data seriously and act on it, lack of visibility to staff is the same as having done nothing in response at all. How would that make it feel if it were you? You think if only 20% of the energy was channeled into addressing the ideas, following up and acknowledging responses, you'd actually hit your shot. And I think follow through requires you to consider these types of questions, which I'll share in a second, and communicate your responses directly, responding to these prompts. So the prompts are, thanks for your feedback, we can do this, or we can't do this, and here's why. Or, hey, we don't understand the points raised, can you please clarify this statement? Or, we will respond to these suggestions after, ... If you can't commit to follow through, stop the survey. But Leanne, we need anonymity to get to the truth. So some clients tell me they prefer having anonymous surveys to reveal the truth. And look, I hear you. And as an employee, I may not want to be critical in surveys if I have to provide my name and my employment future is at stake. Though side note, there is a perception in your business that these anonymous surveys aren't actually anonymous at all. And I'm not a tech expert, but that is a perception. And people will talk about IP tracking all the time at the water cooler or in your Slack channel. However, if you are waiting for an anonymous survey to uncover things within your business, maybe you've identified the problem already. Think about that. Like, where is the psychological safety? Are your leaders not creating a culture where it feels safe to speak up? Or have you not created an environment where they feel like they have somewhere else to go to report something or to share something? For example, an ethics line. Having an anonymous survey also makes it impossible to address concerns head on and create dialogue with those who are most impacted. And I think it also reinforces a culture that requires anonymity to speak the truth. So you need to be anonymous. You can't actually just speak up. And I think this flies in the face of company values, particularly those that revolve around the values of respect and integrity. We know there's no silver bullet or magic wand, but I wanted to just provide some other ideas, some alternatives rather than just talking about how poor these engagement surveys and the processes are. Here are some ideas, and please let me know if you've tried something else or if you've made your engagement surveys work really well. Please challenge me and let me know your thoughts on that too. I think the first thing to do is to start with your intent. I mean, always do this. Ask, what is it that we really want from rolling out this survey? Like, what do we need to find out? Then before proceeding, seek alternatives. It's probably why you're listening to this podcast. A survey is not necessarily your number one choice. Another thing you can do is to use the data at your disposal. So dig into the metrics that you already have. We have so much data that we sometimes don't even look at or use. But look at things like turnover, absenteeism, the effectiveness of your employee referral programs, and of course, your overall business performance. Are there any patterns or outliers between departments, between regions in your business, or that are isolated towards a certain leader within your business? Observe. Now, this is similar to like an undercover boss type of feel. However, if your leaders won't wear a disguise, totally understand that, you can ask an external person to come in and just to observe what's going on and possibly run focus groups. I also get a question like, how many focus groups should you run? I believe as soon as you start identifying patterns and trends, you can stop. I was talking about follow through earlier. I think you definitely need to, if you decide to launch a survey, is to encourage and hold your leaders accountable to commit in their calendar at least 2 or 3 dates in future where they will communicate results and share their plans. Now, this could be as part of a stand-up meeting, but actually get it in the calendar before the survey is released. So it's already there. It's locked in the calendar. There's an expectation to follow through. Stop waiting for the biannual or the annual survey. During any type of regular meeting or one-to-one, make it a ritual to check in and ask an open question like, hey, what's on your mind? What's frustrated you lately? And where do you think we can improve? And finally, I'm sure there's many other ideas, but just finally for this podcast is to launch a listening tour. This is like my favorite thing, but mix leader roles and get them to talk to different teams. And if you're still worried about people not sharing the truth and your employees not speaking up, you can definitely organize a leader swap or find an objective third party to lead these discussions. And I've been brought in to do this from time to time to help identify patterns within businesses. And it's amazing. Very quickly, I've done these over Zoom with people around the world that don't even know each other. And I found this to be extremely effective with getting feedback. My question for you is, are you taking a backflip on launching your next engagement survey? And if I haven't convinced you on that, maybe I can sway you on enjoying some country music. I can't play any in this podcast, but I might put a link to Amarillo by Morning by George Strait. It's a lovely country song that you may not have heard of if you're not into that scene. So like I said, I'm curious, what has your experience been with these type of surveys? Send me a message on LinkedIn, email me hello@leannehughes.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening this week. Chat to you next time. You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning in to Work and Live Large. I really appreciate you. If you know someone in your network and you think, oh my gosh, they've got so much potential, like I want them to live and work larger, send them this episode. I think they might appreciate it. I also appreciate hearing from you, your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, anything. You can shoot me an email, hello@leannehughes.com, or find me on LinkedIn, just search for Leanne Hughes. Stay up to date with all the episodes by heading on over to leannehughes.com/subscribe, and all the best with your week as you go around living it up.